When you think about meal kit companies, what do you see? Probably long, complicated recipes and subscriptions you can't escape. But with the new Blue Apron, we're doing meal delivery differently. No subscription needed. Faster, easier meals. And the same dedication to quality we've always had. Shop 100 plus meals at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Good morning, folks. We've got a great show lined up for you Friday, January the 9th, getting closer to the inauguration of Helena Moreno as the next mayor of the city of New Orleans, which will take place on Monday, January 12th, 9 a.m. in the Sanger Theater. We will be broadcasting live from there, Dave Cohen and myself, and we'll be communicating back to Tommy Tucker that morning. So if you're driving around, tune in. You'll be able to hear all that is going on at the Sanger on Monday, and we look really looking forward to that event. We have a great show lined up for you today. At 12:30, Mark Fry, reporter, WCCO News Talk 830 in Minneapolis, sister station to WWL. We'll talk about ICE protests and the shooting. We'll talk about the temperature there, what is happening, the approach, what the political folks are saying. And there are a couple of weird instances going on we'll talk about as well. Mark Hamrick, top of the hour, Washington Bureau Chief and Senior Economic Analyst at Bankrate.com. The December's job report was released this morning. We'll talk about what that report reveals. At 11:30, Ruth Lawson, President of Jefferson Chamber, joins us. They hosted their 2026 annual meeting yesterday. We'll talk about what was presented to the membership there and where they intend to go in 2026. Top of the hour at 11 o'clock, Arthur Hardy back telling us about what's happening in Mardi Gras. It's upon us already. In fact, I emceed a ball Saturday night. It seems like the New Year's, we get to the New Year's Day, and then right after that, 2 days later, we're having Mardi Gras balls. It was the crew of Pygmalion. They had a beautiful ball that evening. It was a lot of fun, but Mardi Gras is off and running. Fran Phoenix, the communication strategist for Clico, joins us at 10:30, and Fran will talk about how to apply for corporate giving to support nonprofit organizations throughout Southeast Louisiana, and we'll talk with her about how you can go about filing an application if you're involved with a not-for-profit or a particular program. So, again, I started listening to what folks were saying in Minnesota and what they were talking about and this and that, and you know, the governor there continues to talk about things that he obviously either has forgotten or doesn't understand jurisdiction and doesn't know who's on first, what's on second, or anything else. I mean, it's almost a joke. I mean, the guy really is a joke. I would love for him to articulate to anyone how many state or local criminal investigations were conducted by the Minneapolis Police Department or the state authorities in Minnesota of federal law enforcement actions in Minnesota for the last 40 years. He should be able to collect that data real easy, right? It should be out there. You know, and he continues to go on and creating this friction and just BS in his constituents and the nation to believe that there's something sinister going on with the manner in which the investigation's being conducted. I can tell you, after having spent 40 years in law enforcement, the JPSO never participated in an investigation of a federal agent. Nor did we ever have the expectation to be briefed, to be provided information, or anything of the sort during the course of that investigation. It just simply doesn't happen. And the truth be told, there's no obligation, if the roles were reversed, for state and locals to share or to bring in federal investigators on a state action. So why is he saying it? Why is he doing it? You know why. He's just stoking the fire. They feel they have an upper hand, some leverage on this issue right now. They are going to act in a despicable nature by trying to curry political favor over the death of a Minnesotan. I don't know that it gets any worse than that. And I love how crazy this has become, where mainstream media, print media, and others, hell, right here in this city, have already characterized this killing as a murder. They were interviewing a councilwoman on a New Orleans City Council. I read her quote. She called it a killing. It was a killing. The officer did kill someone, but it doesn't rise to the level of a murder. It hasn't been fully investigated. Could it be? Could it end up there? Maybe. I don't believe so. But it could end up there. But all of the reactions to everything that's going on here is completely and totally political. Why is that? Why are we going off the rails as it relates to this particular issue and this particular enforcement actions that are being carried out by ICE? It's truly amazing that we find ourselves at this point in this country, and that we have elected officials that are willing to put their very livelihood at risk going out and BS in the public. He knows this to be true, Tim Walz, that is. The crazy AG there in Minnesota, Keith Ellison, he knows it to be true better than anyone. The police chief there, he also knows it to be true. In fact, it's so interesting when you go back and you look at some particular incidents in Minneapolis and how they responded. In fact, there was a case on December 11th of 2025 where a Minneapolis police officer is summoned to a location based on some information that an individual there was revealing a gun to his mother. Now, this was an adult, right? So the police show up. The individual walks out the door with the gun in his hand, at his side. He's ordered to drop the gun. He doesn't drop the gun, and the Minneapolis police officer shoots twice at the individual. He missed. So there were no injuries. The police chief in this case, now, you and I could argue whether or not this is a good shoot or not. What I'm able to glean from the facts as reported is that the perpetrator never raised the gun. It was at his side. They gave two commands to drop the gun, and then they fired twice. We could argue on both sides of that case whether or not it's a clean shoot. But it was clear what the chief in this case was trying to accomplish, right? This was his man, and he wanted to make sure that this was going to be 6-2 and even, over and out, copacetic. And I quote, "This incident underscores the dangers of our officers face every single day. In a fraction of a second, they were faced with a life or death situation. I'm thankful that no one was injured in this situation, and I'm thankful for the professional manner in which our officers handled it." It's interesting because all of these same players have gone to the state of the mind of the alleged perpetrator in the case of dealing with ICE. Why is there a different standard, right? The only thing that this chief happened to say about this particular alleged perpetrator is that they believe him to be intoxicated. But it seems as though he embraced the notion that it was okay for his officers to shoot twice. And probably was okay in the fact that they missed. I know these cases don't stand on all fours with one another, but they highlight the difference of when you have politics embedded in a series of events leading up to something. Was there any doubt that these officers were facing danger? They tried to get the decedent, Miss Good, to comply. She refused. She put the car in reverse. They were trying to get their hands inside the car to get the keys to the car and turn the car off. She didn't help facilitate that. She put the car in reverse, then put the car in forward and started to move. And if you notice on the backside of the automobile, there's an officer that's trying to move out of the way and ends up slipping and falling. The concrete's all very slippery. Everybody was saying that ICE was lying because her car wasn't stuck in the snow. They never alleged that her car was stuck in the snow. It was the car on the other side of her car, which was the ICE car that was actually in the snow. And that's why the backup guys were coming onto the scene, was to help them push that car out of the snow. They didn't have chains on the car, and they were just spinning out. But right away, we never went to the state of the mind. You know, we did go to the state of the mind. She was just trying to go on her happy way. She just happened to come upon this situation, which now that story's falling apart by comments that her own friends are making. But yet we have jumped to this being a murder. Being a murder. On the one hand, we have a shoot that's a little iffy, and we're thankful. And the incident underscores dangers, but not in this case, not in the immigration case, because the immigration issue is too toxic. So we're willing to stare the obvious in the face and walk right around it. And these incidents are like 3.5 weeks, I think 3 weeks apart from one another, 4 weeks apart, not even 4 weeks apart from one another. It's amazing how differently this whole thing is being handled. Interestingly, the investigation of that shooting is being conducted by an agency similar to the state police here in Louisiana. And I guess one could make the argument as well. I mean, do we really believe that we're going to get to a just outcome? These are people that work together with each other and everything else. Because Walt is trying to have you believe that the FBI is in cahoots with immigration. They have two different leaders and they appear in two different agencies. And therefore, they don't believe that there's going to be the ability to get to a just outcome. But he would have you believe, in spite of all of what's going on in this fraud investigation, in spite of all of the whistleblower, in spite of all of the evidence pointing to him and other leaders in Minnesota that looked the way and ignored the fraud that's going on, that they would get to a just outcome in that case? Hell no. In fact, now they're even dressing down the U.S. attorney prosecuted the case. This is a real sad commentary about where we are in the leadership in politics in this country. Truly, truly sad. And I agree with the Vice President J.D. Vance yesterday when he called out the mainstream media referencing this case as a murder and classifying it as such. Have any of them talked to anybody in the car? Are they privy to any of the communications between the ICE officers and the two people in that automobile? Have any of them talked to any of the witnesses that videoed this particular incident? Have any of them talked to what was her purpose there? At first, the reporting was is that she just happened to be driving by. Now she's taken on some brand. I'm not sure what it means that she's a legal observer for some leftist organization that monitors and follows ICE, distributes information about where they are, where they're going, and what they're doing in order to send out blast emails and notices to all of the residents in a particular geographic area to warn them that law enforcement is in their neighborhood. Think about the delta between the legal observer status and the role and the utility that one plays versus just randomly driving down a street after having dropped your six-year-old at school. Where that story is beginning to crumble and come undone, because it just so happens that Ms. Good was identified as being in numerous locations earlier that morning, placing her vehicle in between ICE officers and other individuals that they were trying to encounter. So yesterday I pointed out the best people in the best positions to be able to avoid that. None of that has changed. It started right there with Miss Good. No one would have ever got to the point of having an being apprehensive of whether or not they were going to be run over by a car or that some other people would be injured if she simply just complied. And whether or not she fears immigration or police in general is not a defense. You comply. Always think back to that Chris Rock routine. How not to get jacked up by the police, right? And I think he does it in the context of talking to kids. When they ask you to do something, you do it. But we're not talking about that here, are we? Not at all. In fact, we believe that we have this authority and this right now as it relates to immigration, that we can do whatever we want, why we want, when we want, how we want, because we feel like we're part of this momentum, we're part of this movement to push back on a statutorily created agency that's empowered to enforce federal immigration laws in this country simply because we don't like the federal immigration laws and therefore our purpose is worthy. And we focus on the trials and tribulations of that sector of the population that made a conscious choice to violate the laws of our country. And then we are less than moral if we don't recognize and embrace that same position. And for those reasons, it's okay to just simply go out after immigration officers. Not that any of them are married or have children or God-fearing individuals. They're just doing their job. When they raised their right hand and took a constitutional oath to protect you by enforcing immigration laws, and that's their entire purpose, to enforce immigration laws, it's now become an incredibly bad thing in this country, and we have given carte blanche to anyone who feels otherwise to throw snowballs, to spit on them, to kick them, to punch them, to knock the windows out of their cars, to dox their family, to assault the officers, and the list goes on and on and on. And then we wonder why we have violent confrontation. Really? Are you kidding me? And we actually have a governor who should be a learned individual and should be someone who is a former teacher, should understand human nature, going out there trying to get people to believe that the federal government is conducting this secret investigation and that they've been locked out. And I would love for him to articulate a single case that he has investigated or any agency within the state of Minnesota of a federal law enforcement officer action ever. He's lying. He's misleading for the purpose of stoking the fire. And he's a hypocrite, too. But this is where we are in this country. I mean, it's absolutely incredulous. And we try to hide the fraud that's going on in Minneapolis. And let me tell you why that's bad. In fact, we just had an individual, a Somali individual, in the state of Maine, who just got elected to a council position in that state. And he's having to resign because he received money from a grant program. And he's also been under investigation as to whether or not he is who he says he is for a period of time now. And this just goes on and on and on and on. And you're going to find, and their reporting is that there's going to be more and more of these cases. Lewiston City Council member in Maine resigned less than 24 hours after his nonprofit was among dozens that received money raised for mass shooting victims. They raised mass shooting victims and they used the money for themselves. It was supposed to go to the families of the mass shooting victims that had occurred there. That bowling alley, if you recall, shooting. Iman Osman, a Somali refugee who heads the Lewiston Auburn Youth Network, stepped down from the council. He had just won this week. His organization received $65,000 from the fund established after the October 2023 shooting. He also faces felony gun charges and was under investigation for his residency. And he did not give a reason for leaving. Another example of folks taking advantage of others. It's totally inexplicable. And again, there's nothing there. This is all political, according to Keith Ellison and Tim Walz. This is Donald Trump's fault that there's all this fraud in Minnesota. Now Maine. We understand there's two or three investigations going on in Connecticut, and there's two or three other states that are beginning their investigations because when they went to do a little look-see, a drive-by, to see whether or not they may potentially have some issues as well, guess what? They hit the gold mine. Now they're all scrambling. Stay tuned. You're going to be hearing more and more of this for the next 6 months. We'll be
Maybe you like cooking. Maybe you don't. Either way, the new Blue Apron is for you. Because along with our classic meal kits, we're offering new pre-made and one-pan meals to help you get dinner on the table fast. And now there is no subscription needed, so you can just order and enjoy. Do delicious food your way. Shop 100-plus meals at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Right back. Welcome back, folks. We're joined by our friend Fran Phoenix, communications strategist with Clico. Fran, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
So, Fran, hopefully this year in the first months of 2026, we don't get the snow that we got last year and the challenges that that presented for everyone. Clico, I understand, had a good year, though, last year.
We did. The weather is mild right now, which is good because, as you said, last year this time it wasn't the same. But last year was good. We had no hurricanes, so that's right. Always good.
Absolutely. You guys work really, really hard at being good corporate partners to the communities you serve. You help fund and finance a number of initiatives as well as a number of nonprofits. In the beginning of the year is when y'all collectively and collaboratively come together to decide where your funding will go. Is that correct?
That is right. Giving is so important to the company. And the reason being is that we believe in supporting the communities where we do business, where we live and work. So CLECO has always been a giver. This is something we do year-round, and we have a long history of philanthropy.
And so y'all are in that process at the present time, and you have some information that you want to give to folks that may have an interest in collaborating with you guys. How do they go about doing that, and where do they go to do that?
Definitely. So there are multiple ways that the company gives back, and I'm going to talk about the two primary ways, volunteerism and giving. So volunteerism, we have a program called Done in the Day. And what happens is employees throughout the company volunteer to go and help an organization, a nonprofit, with a project. And we will go and let's say, for example, in St. Tammany Parish, this past year, we went to the Samaritan Center in April. That's located in Mandeville. We sorted packages in the food, it's a food bank. We landscaped and beautified the building. We went to the Boys and Girls Club in Slidell. We painted the inside of the club to prepare for the new school year. We also went to the North Shore Food Bank in November. We sorted packages that were received during the holiday. So those are activities that our employees volunteer for. We call it a done in a day project because it's something that normally can be done in a few hours or a day. And so last year, our employees volunteered over 5,000 hours doing these type projects. So that's a huge number for CLECO. And what we are doing this month is we're going out across the state talking to different media outlets like yours, and we're letting our customers know, if you have an activity, if you have some work that you need done at your nonprofit, let us know because we can get a team of employees together to come out and help. And that's our volunteerism. And those are the projects that we do as a group. But then we have employees throughout the company. Like, for example, our purchasing department, they go to the Manor House in Central Louisiana on a regular basis and volunteer. So when you add it all up, we have a lot of volunteer hours that we log and we track. And so for 2025, we were at 5,000. And so we're letting our customers know, as I said, if you have a project and you would like some help for free, you can reach out to CLECO, send us an email at news@CLECO.com, and we'd love to come help you.
That's obviously a great program. It's one that you and I have actually talked about before on many different fronts in the aftermath of storms or any other kind of challenge that may be there as well. Is there anything new that you guys are considering in 2026?
Well, we're always looking for new opportunities to give. As I just shared, the volunteerism is CLECO sending employees and they're volunteering their time. Then there's the giving side. So CLECO supports events across the state, those that are big and small. Last year, CLECO supported over 600 organizations. And what we want customers to do, you go to our website at www.cleco.com, and there's a button that says community. You click on the button there, it gives you kind of an overview of the causes we support. Our priorities are STEM programs, youth programs, health and wellness, and low income initiative. So if there's a nonprofit in our service territory that's focused on these type of initiatives, you can fill out an application and it will come to CLECO and we'll evaluate it. And we'd love to support your cause. Again, we want them to line up with our priorities. And so to answer your question, yes, that's we're out right now promoting our corporate giving because we're looking for new ideas and new projects to get involved in. So we want customers, one, to know we have a volunteerism program. So if you need help with a project that can be done in a few hours or a day, give us, you know, email us. If you have an initiative and you need funding, definitely go to our website and click on the community link, fill out the application. I'll give you an example. Last year, we hosted a golf tournament, and we've been doing this golf tournament for years, I think 8 years to be exact. And the employees come together, and we have partners, and it's a, you know, way to raise money for a nonprofit. And so we select a nonprofit based on feedback from employees in the community, like who has a need. So previous recipients include Folds of Honor, the Lions Club of Louisiana, and the Special Olympics. So for 2025, we selected a group called Dreams Come True of Louisiana. It's a nonprofit organization dedicated to granting wishes to children with life-threatening illnesses. And so for that tournament alone, we raised over $80,000, and we gave that money to the Dreams Come True of Louisiana. So as you hear me talk, it's not just about our time. It's about our finances. We serve a crucial product to our customers, right? So we're not a company that's just here, you know, serving you and sending you a bill. We're a company that's here in your community giving back. We're giving back with our time, and we're giving back with our finances.
We're visiting with Fran Phoenix, communication strategist, CLECO. So, Fran, if folks wanted to engage you guys, where would they go?
Definitely. So, as I said, we're always looking for new ways to connect with the community, our customers. If your school or organization, your nonprofit, has a project that you need volunteers for, you can reach out to us at news@CLECO.com. That's news@CLECO.com. Or if your organization would like to request a donation, visit our website at CLECO.com/community to request funding. It's very simple. We're so excited about this upcoming year. And, you know, not a lot of companies are out here telling you how to ask for money. So that's big in itself. You know, it shows just how dedicated we are. We're here. This is where we live. This is where we work. And this is where we serve. And so we want our customers to know that we're part of, we're in it. You know, we're a part of the community.
Absolutely. Well, thank you so much for joining us today and talking about your corporate partnership with the community there on North Shore and other areas as well. We truly appreciate it. We wish you a happy new year and a prosperous new year as well.
Thank you so much. Happy new year to you too.
Thank you, Fran. That's Fran Phoenix, communication strategist at CLECO. We will be right back, folks. 504-260-1870 on the Oak and Hart Jewelers Talk and Text Lines.
You know how everything's a subscription now? Music, movies, even socks. I swear if it...
To continue this ad, please upgrade to Premium Plus Platinum.
What? No, anyway, Blue Apron...
This is a pay-per-listen ad. Please confirm your billing.
Oh, that's annoying. At least with the new Blue Apron, there's no subscription needed. Get delicious meals delivered without the weekly plan.
Wait, no subscription?
Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Stay with us. So, of course, the nasty texts are coming in, and that's okay. People questioning, you know, whether or not I'm going to get into the pearly gates at some point in time because of my position relative to what's going on in Minneapolis and Minnesota, what's going on generally relative to immigration in this country, how we are treating ICE officers, and whether or not I'm just immoral in my beliefs of what an ordered and structured society looks like, why we have rules. I was raised to follow the rules. I don't understand now why, you know, we have asterisks next to all of these rules that, you know, when a group of people collectively decide that these rules are of no value or no purpose, then everybody can do what they want and why they want and when they want and where they want it, then it's all okay, because that embraces your bias, and it confirms your bias. It embraces what you want to see happen, and it's all good. And so you're good and everybody else is evil. It's an amazing mindset and thought process that folks are going through. And what's really amazing is that a lot of folks in this country can no longer think independently of the faces of the leaders out there and not evaluate the policies and not evaluate the operations and the laws and the guidelines, how they interact and why they are what they are. Look back historically as to what other presidents did, most of whom have deported more people than Donald Trump. Donald Trump seems to just articulate it in a much more overt way, albeit sometimes very caustic. I don't agree with his delivery methodology. I could say that a million times a day, but that wouldn't be enough for this group of people either, because the fact of the matter, it's all about the win for them. They're obviously, you know, buried in the D party, and it's all about that. I'm not a hypocrite, and I'm not a fraud, and I'm not an evil person, as I've been called by in a number of texts here about what needs to be done. Now, there's a lot of fraud that can be called out. I called out what I did today because it's current, it's relevant, it's standing right there in front of us, and it is a bone of contention between the federal government and state government. We now have state government actors calling U.S. attorneys out and saying they should be fired for prosecuting people guilty of fraud and successfully convicting them. I mean, that's the real irony here. They went before a jury and successfully convicted these people, and they're still unhappy because it seems to hit the Republican script at the present time, and no, we cannot have that. You know, that's not good for the Democratic Party. It's not going to be good for the upcoming elections. I mean, folks, it's got to be bigger than the politics, right? Really does have to be bigger than the politics. And you got to be able to consume political capital and stand up for what is right. I did get a nice note from somebody that said they're out there in Seagrove listening to the show. I'm out here working on 30A at Seagrove. I think you like it out here. I more than like it out there. I love it out there. And he goes on to say, or she goes on to say, I'm grateful to be listening to straightforward common sense coming from you. Thanks, Newell. Making my day a little easier. You know, it's interesting. Why do folks really fear letting the process work its way out? Right? How many times have you heard me say on this show, there's going to be things that continue to reveal themselves in the course of this investigation. Let's not prejudge where we are at the present time. Let us gain a better understanding as to what this is all about. Already, the context of the driver of the car has changed dramatically from just being out and about, driving around, minding their own business, to now being a legal observer for an anti-ICE left-wing organization. That's a fact. The leader of the organization came out and said, she works with us. She has this legal observer status. What that is, I have no idea. They are, in fact, an anti-ICE, left-leaning, liberal organization. There's nothing to argue about there. But from the first instance when this came out, it's just somebody enjoying the snow and driving around, having dropped their six-year-old off at school, to where we are now as to what we understand what she was trying to do and why. The delta between those two positions is huge. So just take a breath. This will continue to reveal itself. We'll be right back. Folks, when we come back after the top of the hour news break, we're going to visit with Arthur Harding, with the Times-Picayune, an editor and publisher of the Mardi Gras Guide, his 50th year celebrating the greatest free show on earth. We'll talk about what we have coming our way.